Corinthians, chapter number 12, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. I'll begin reading in verse number 1 in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. While you're finding that, I remember Brother Randall telling those directions. And I remember one time that my boss told us our job was moving, and I was working in West Point. And he said, now you're going to be working in Anniston. He said, all you got to do out of your driveway is turn right. I said, that's right, but you got to add some miles onto it. So I was reminded of that when Brother Randall was talking about that. Tonight in the Bible, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. For now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I need your help tonight, Lord. I pray, dear God, you speak to one soul's heart in here tonight, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, thank you for our teachers that are teaching our children, Lord. Thank you for our church family. Bless our pastor as he preaches away tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd do a miraculous thing here tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to look at verse number 9, where he says this, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want to say tonight that I've titled this message, Paul's Thorn. You see, I've noticed in serving God that a lot of times in our life when we think that something is going to go just our way or something is going to happen just right, there's a thorn that may arise in our life. I want to say this tonight. I was looking through it. I said, why do roses have thorns? And somebody would even debate me tonight that a rose has a thorn, but I'm not into that tonight. I was from the country, and I believe every rose has a thorn and not a prickle is what they call it. But I'm here tonight to tell you that roses have thorns. And I began to try to study some of that out and say, Lord, why do roses have thorns? And one guy said it was for protection. So that when animals or pests would come near a rose after it bloomed, the smell of that rose had perfumed out and it had budded out, that those animals could smell those roses. And as an animal come up to it, those thorns would protect that rose from falling off because of that animal. It was for protection. Not only that, it was for prop. He said as a rose began to bud up and as it began to spring up from the ground, that rose would attach itself to another rose and it would be for support. I'm glad tonight we got some support in the family of God tonight. I'm glad we're not in this thing alone and we're not serving God by ourselves. I'm glad that when I fell down and I didn't think I could get up, there was somebody there that could prop me up and help me to see where Christ really was and put Him back in my life where I need Him to be. Thank God for the props that God has set here at Liberty Baptist Church. Tonight, Paul Thorn. I got four quick things. Brother Jamie killed a 10-pointer Sunday night. So I'll try not to kill a 10-pointer, but I'll be close to it. See, preaching is a lot like hunting. A hunter never wants to go out and kill a four-pointer, does he? He always wants to get a 10-pointer or a 12-pointer. But tonight I got 4 points and I'll be done. I'll be quick. The first thing I want to look at tonight in Paul's thorn, you'll see the reason for Paul's thorn. You see, every thorn with God always has a reason. A lot of times we don't always look for it as God sent us a thorn, but Paul's thorn was for a reason. You say, what was the reason for Paul's thorns? I read after many men, and there's a lot of men that would try to figure out what Paul's thorn really was. A lot of people said he may have had epilepsy. He had some kind of disease, some kind of ailment, some kind of different thing. And I read after one guy, he said, well, maybe it was his eyesight, because he said he had written a large letter and he couldn't see as good as he once could, and he was getting older, and that became his thorn. And then somebody would say, maybe he had a good personality. As one man put it, they said that his face and all the things he suffered for Christ's sake after he'd been beaten, and it maybe his face had been transformed and he was not as pretty as he once was, and he had a good personality. But they tried to figure out what Paul's thorn really was. I'm not here to debate on you what Paul's thorn really was, but I'm going to say that Paul had a thorn for a reason. Paul was a man used of God. And I've noticed that everybody that's used of God, at some time in their life, God places a thorn in their life, and it's always for a reason. Paul had a thorn for a reason. You say, what was it? I want to say the reason of Paul's thorn tonight is for pride. You see, if we look back in this, before we get there, I want you to notice first that you'll look at the first mention of thorns in the Bible. Does anybody know where the first mention of the thorn was in the Bible? Let me tell you where it was found. It was found in Genesis chapter number 3. You know what it says over there? That's when Adam and Eve, you remember, Eve had been deceived by the devil. And when she got deceived by the devil, you remember she partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil had deceived her. And then Adam came and he took voluntarily. And then God said this in Genesis chapter number 3, in verse number 17, the last part of that verse in 17 says, "In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field." The first mention of the word thorn in the Bible is always associated with hardship. Hardship. Paul had a thorn that was going to bring him to hardship. Why? So he would not be a prideful preacher or a prideful Christian. You see, the devil would always love you to get puffed up. God would use this thorn so he'd make sure Paul would never be puffed up. The first part of those verses that I read said Paul was there and he was called up to the third heaven. Many people believe that Paul wrote this book, the 2 Corinthians, 14 years after he had been to his town in Acts chapter number 14 called Lystra. In Lystra, Paul was stoned. And the Jews came in and took out his body and they said they supposed him to be dead. And when they pulled Paul out and they supposed him to be dead, a lot of people think Paul passed from this life up into God's heaven. And he was caught up into the third heaven called paradise. The word paradise is mentioned 3 times in the Bible. We all know it was mentioned in Luke 23 with the thief on the cross, wasn't it? They said there, the thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." It's mentioned also in the reading of our text. It's also mentioned in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 8, where it's at the church of Ephesus. And it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God." Paul's reason for his thorn was always so that he would not be a prideful preacher or a prideful Christian. I'm here to tell you tonight, God does not want us to be prideful. You say, why do you say that? You think of Paul. He'd been caught up into heaven. God's dwelling, God's abode. And he said they said, "Paul, what did you see? What did you hear up there?" And we'd all like to know that tonight, wouldn't we? the Bible does not shed a lot of light on that, does it? And we'd all say, Brother Paul, come sit down beside us and tell us what you heard up there. What did you see up there? Did you see Abraham? Did you see Moses? Did you see David? Did you see all the saints of yore? We would all like to know that tonight. But God said, No, Paul, I'll give you a thorn in the flesh. Why? Look in verse number 7. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. God would give him that thorn in the flesh so he could use Paul. You see, I've noticed in life, when I don't have a thorn that's pricking me and stealing in me and doing things in my life and twisting it down deep, I'm not as close to God as when I am when I've got that thorn that's daily there bothering me. It's daily there drawing to me and drawing me to Him and getting closer to God. He'd give that to him so he would not be prideful, if where God could always have His hand on him. You say, why? Paul was a man that had written 14 books of the New Testament. Paul was a man God had used on missionary trips. He was a man that was turning the world upside down for Christ. He was a man preaching the gospel, seeing sinners saved. And God said, I cannot let you get exalted above measure. Why? Because you wouldn't be any use for me anymore. Many of you today may be walking with a thorn in the flesh. And let me tell you why. It's for God, for He wouldn't let you be puffed up with pride, and He could use you all the days of His life. So don't think it's strange when God gives you a thorn. You see, Paul had a reason for his thorn. It was so he wouldn't get puffed up with pride. Not only would it not get puffed up with pride, that thorn was also for protection. You say, why do you say for protection? As I studied that out, and that thing of protection where the animals wouldn't come up to him, God is not so much saving. We know that the world exists, the flesh and the devil, and we all battle those, don't we? But Brother Randall prayed tonight. He said, keep us from destroying ourselves and destroying each other. You know who's the worst enemy I got? You looking at him. It's me. I get up every morning. I look in that mirror. I don't see any hair. But I look at it. I said, that's the worst enemy I've got is myself. Why? God has given thorns in the flesh to Christians down through the ages so that they wouldn't get puffed up with pride and protect them from themselves. And God has protected me from myself most of the time because things that I've done and things that I've said out of haste and out of ought. Let me tell you what, God has got a protection and He's given you a thorn to protect you from yourself. Not only for protection, it's also for power. Look what He said in the last part of that. In verse number 9, He said this in the last part. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that what? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm telling you, God gives us a thorn, not that we would be powerful. You see, God operates in opposite. See, when you're weak, He becomes strong. And when you're little, guess what He does? He becomes big. John chapter number 3 and verse number 30 said He must increase, but there's always the other end of that stick. You know what it is? You must decrease. And you'll notice when you get little and everything you got is gone and you tried all you can do and all you can do is turn to God, let me tell you what He'll begin to do. He'll become to increase in your life and He'll swell up in your soul and all you can do is think about Him because you've gotten so little that you've taken yourself totally out of the way. And God Himself has manifested Himself in power in your life. The reason for Paul's thorn, it was for pride, keep him from being prideful, keep him protected. It was also to keep him from, to show him where this power actually came from. The reason for Paul's thorn. Not only his reason for his thorn, I want to say this. You'll see the resource for his thorn. I want you to look at what it said in verse number 9. Let's get verse number 8. It said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my what? My grace is sufficient for thee. Not for every thorn that you face in the kingdom of God, let me tell you what they'll always be. They'll always be a resource. You know what that resource is tonight? It's that word grace. I'm glad tonight that I'm saved by grace. I'm glad tonight, you notice what he said first of all? The source of the grace. He said it was whose grace? He said, my grace. My grace. I'm glad God's got grace for all our needs tonight. And it's not coming from somebody else. Let me tell you what, it's come from God above. When God opened the wounds on Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, outflowed the grace of God from Calvary's fountain. I'm glad tonight that I'm covered by grace. I'm covered under the blood of Christ. But it was through God's sending His Son to Calvary that I have grace tonight. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad God has a source of grace. Not only is it a source of grace, it's a supply of grace. I'm glad that I'll never run out. I'm glad tonight for every need that I'm walking through tonight, there'll always be a supply of grace there for me. I'm glad tonight I can reach back in my pocket and know there's going to be grace enough to get me through another day. Paul said, he said this in verse number 8, he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Now if anybody could pray for this thorn to be gone, I think Paul could do it. I think Paul walked with the Lord. I think he had one of the greatest walk of any of the apostles of God that had ever walked this place, this planet, that if he wanted to pray for the thorn to be removed, he could have had it done. Let me say this tonight, in our prayer life. I know I'm going to run a little rabbit right here. I want to say this in our prayer life. God did not remove His thorn. Paul prayed for it. But let me say this. No is as much answer as yes. No is just as much as an answer as yes is. Paul said this. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. God told him, Paul said, God, I can't live with it. And God would say, you can't live without it. I hope you got that tonight. I noticed this, that each one of us in this building has probably got a thorn tonight. And you think, why do I have this thorn? And Paul thought the same as that thing. He said, why, God, do I have this thorn? I could probably serve you better if I didn't have this thorn. I could probably do more things if I didn't have this thorn, if you just remove it. I'd probably be a better Christian if you just removed this thorn. And God said, you wouldn't be the Christian you are without that thorn. The resource for God's thorn. I want to say it's grace, the source of the grace, the supply of grace. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 20 says this. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm glad tonight that by grace are we saved. And I'm glad that grace, where the sin abounded in my life, much more did grace abound. You say, what does that mean? That means no matter what sin I committed, there was so much more grace to cover that sin because of God's grace. And if I could sing tonight, I'd say grace, grace, God's marvelous grace. I'm glad His grace is greater than all of our sin tonight. The resource for Paul's thorn was grace. Not only do you see the source of the grace, the supply of the grace, but I say it was sufficient grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I heard a man use this analogy one time. He said, for us to think that God did not have enough grace would be like us taking a toy boat to the Atlantic Ocean and hoping there'd be enough water in that ocean to float that boat. Then he said this. He said, it'd be like you taking a bucket, one of those toy buckets, you know, where you build sandcastles, down to the beach and saying, there may not be enough sand to fill that little bucket up. I'm glad tonight for every need that we have, there'll be grace enough that God gives us a resource and it'll be what? Sufficient. You know what that word means, sufficient? Down where I live, it means it'll be enough. I'm glad we have whatever you're walking through tonight, I'm glad there'll be grace enough to get you through. There's been times in my life where I didn't know if I'd even make it, or if we'd even make it through a problem or make it through another day. But let me tell you what, there was always grace enough. And I believe tonight, if you were to testify, you could say the same down at your house, that God is enough and He's got enough grace for us to go around tonight, because He's given us that resource, and He gave Paul that resource for that thorn. I'm glad not only did Paul get a thorn, but he got a resource to be able to handle that thorn. So let your thorn always reveal the grace of God tonight. Not only you see the reason for the thorn, the resource for the thorn. But I want to say last, thirdly, the reaction to the thorn. Paul went before the Lord three times. He said, "Lord, remove this thorn, please." And I believe he cried an earnest prayer. And God said, "I will not do it." Paul's reaction. How would you react to things that happen in your life? You see, I notice people always around me are looking to see how I'll react to things. And people, can I get a witness right here? I need somebody to be honest on a Wednesday night. Has there been anybody in your life to prompt you to see if you'd react a certain way? To get a manipulative response out of you? Some of y'all shaking your head like y'all lived down at my house for a little bit. There's people on my job. You know what they'll do? They'll want to see how I'm going to react to things. That boss comes in, he says something you don't like. How are you going to react to that? Somebody comes into your life down there at Walmart, gets your parking place, steals your buggy, turns your life upside down. How are you going to react to that? You see, a lot of things, Paul was going to react to this thorn. How would Paul react to something that God told him no? God told him no. Look what the Bible said. It's found in verse number 9. Verse number 8 said, "For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And in one verse, look what Paul's reaction was. Jesus said unto him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And here it is. "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Let me tell you what, something happened there. You say, what did God do? Did He remove the thorn to make Paul change his mind? He did not remove his thorn. Let me tell you what, God did not change Paul's circumstance. Paul still had the thorn. And tonight, you may be living with a thorn. God may not change your thorn, but He'll change you. See, God will use that thorn and change, not to change his circumstance, but He would be able to make Paul understand where the thorn came from and make him to be able to live with that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And that word buffet there is an interesting word. That means to pound somebody in the face. It's not a buffet like down there at Shawnee's. It's the word buffet. It means to pound somebody black and blue. And every great man of God can attest to this, that there's always been a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Every time he preaches, every time somebody sings, anytime you pray in church, guess what? There'll be a messenger of Satan to buffet you, tell you he did everything wrong. Paul's reaction. God did not change Paul's circumstances. God changed Paul himself. And I wonder tonight, with your thorn that you've got, and you say, "Well, I don't really have a thorn that I can attest to tonight or testify that I have." Just hold on. There'll be things that'll rise up in your life as you get older in the Lord. And let me tell you what, God, it may be your health tonight. It may be your family. It may be your finances. It may be your thorn tonight. And each one of us probably could say we have a thorn in the flesh in some form or some fashion tonight. Let me tell you what, God's not so interested in changing your circumstances as He is changing you to be able to bear the thorn that He's given you. Paul had a good reaction. He said, "Lord, I tell you what I'll do. I'll just glory in whatever state I am." It said this, talking about the reaction to his thorn. It said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 30, it says, "If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my" what? "My infirmities." 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 5, it says, "Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9, what we just read, he said this in the last part of that verse, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He said this in verse 10, which was the last verse we read tonight. He said, "Therefore, I take pleasure in" what? "In infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul said, he didn't change my circumstances, but I believe he's done changed me. And he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll begin to glory in those things that have caused my thorn." If you read the book of of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, you'll find wherever Paul was, in perils of robbers, in perils of the sea, no matter what state he was in, Paul learned how to glory in his infirmities. I believe when he was before King Agrippa, he said this, he said, I think myself happy. Paul learned how to live with this thorn. You may be here tonight saying, Lord, please remove this thorn from me. Paul said, I had to learn to live with mine. So you might have to learn how to live with yours. And God will get you through those things. Paul's reaction to his thorn. Paul, I began to think about Paul's life. Paul, he was shipwrecked. You remember in Acts chapter number 27. Off the island of Melita. Paul, was you able to get through that? He said, I was able to get through that. Paul was stoned at Lystra in Acts chapter number 14. Paul, was you able to handle that? He said, I got through it. Acts chapter number 16, you'll find him in jail at Philippi. Paul, did you make it through that? He said, yeah, I made it through. He said this in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 17. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh a far more weight, far exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I'm glad tonight Paul could testify that his thorn brought him closer to Christ. Paul's reaction. And I'll close with this tonight. Not only you see the reason for Paul's thorn, you see the resource for his thorn, the reaction to the thorn, but I want to say this, the result of the thorn. It's found there in verse number 10. It said this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I wrote this down. I said God's thorn was not a thorn of grief. It was God's gift. Not only that, it was not for Paul's pain. It was for God's purpose. Not only for that, God chose him to be a winner, and the thorn wouldn't be a weight. And then I said, being God's least don't always make us a loser. Being God's least didn't always make us a loser. See, Paul was a man that always wanted to win. I got any winners in here? I can guarantee you this, nobody ever wants to be picked last, and everybody always wants to win. Paul was that man. Paul was a man that always wanted to win. God would teach him how to lose. But not lose as the world sees it, but to be the least with God so that he could win Christ tonight. I'm glad tonight there's a result of a thorn. As I began studying this, I was listening to a preacher in this, using this same text. This is what he said, talking about thorns produce roses. This is what he said. He said he would live with chronic pain all of his life. And he didn't know what to do about it and became his thorn in the flesh. He went into a church and they had a bulletin board. And on that bulletin board it said this, thorns produce roses. Thorns produce roses. And he began to weep and cry about that bulletin board as he saw that phrase, because he knew that thorn in the flesh. And he began to think of his life, how that thorn was all that he ever thought about, all he ever talked about, how bad that thorn had been. And this thorn that he had was a crippling thorn. It put him in the hospital for several years where he couldn't even move hardly. And even live with the pain that this thorn was producing. And he said this, thorns produce roses. And he began to do that. He began to think about that. He said this. He said a lot of times we see the thorns that are affecting us. We don't realize that those thorns have bloomed into roses. You see, tonight your thorn is blooming into roses all around you. And you may not even know it. Paul said that thorn that I had in the flesh, guess what it did? It began to bloom out. And I had to take my eyes off that thorn and look at the blooms of those roses. I said all that to say this, our time is short down here. There's things happening around you, and if all you see is that thorn that's poking you and pricking you and every day getting on your nerves and it's making you, all you can think about is how that thorn is affecting you, look around you. Don't let the thorn hide the roses that are developing around you and blooming out around you. You say, why? Time is short. the winter's coming. Pay attention to the roses that are around you that are blooming out every day. Paul's the result of the thorn. I'm glad tonight God has not so much taken our thorn away from us, but I'm glad He's given us a thorn to draw us closer to Him tonight. I'm glad God always has He may give you a thorn in the flesh. I can't tell you tonight that He's not going to give you a thorn in the flesh, because if you're going to serve God, there's going to be something that happens to you. It'll be just like Paul. But I'm going to tell you what He's going to do. He's going to give you grace enough to get through that thorn and to see past that thorn, and don't see just that thorn, but to see all the roses that are blooming around you in your life, in your family, in your church family, down at your job. It may be springing out a great fragrance down there, and people, all they see is Christ through your thorn. And all the time, all you may see is that thorn and that poking and that pricking. But God Himself has created a great bloom of a rose all around you that you may not see. I'm here tonight to tell you, don't look at your thorn, but look at the roses that are going around you. Brother Mike.